It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Midnight Memories comes out today, not a romantic novel, an album by the boy band One Direction. You may be surprised to learn groups these days still put out albums. Some of us can remember when fans were buying New Kids on the Block cassettes and Backstreet Boys CDs, but this quintet of non-threatening dudes with frosted tips does have its own marketing scheme. In fact, the new album's already topped the charts in 10 countries ahead of its release. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
More than 200,000 copies of Midnight Memories have already sold through pre-orders of the album. This is the title track, one of four singles that were released weekly to fans who pre-ordered the album. The serialized release was a new strategy, but the goal was the same as the old-school music business model of releasing singles to generate buzz.
It creates word of mouth and a little more excitement than just the average, it's available on this date and you can't get it until then.
Bob Baker is the author of the Guerrilla Music Marketing Handbook. There's another reason that labels like this strategy. It gives them more access to their fans so they can communicate directly with them.
You can then, you know, continue to market to those people after the record that you're working on is through.
Mike King teaches music marketing at the Berklee College of Music. He says these efforts can help labels sell higher ticket items down the road, send emails out about upcoming live events, and ideally, keep profits going in one direction. Towards the stars. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
After several days of testing, New Jersey is scheduled to fully launch its new online gambling system tomorrow. Behind Nevada and Delaware, the state will become the third to allow gambling on the internet, as long as you're getting online within its borders. How do they tell? The digital address of your device. But isn't that kind of tricky?
It's not that it's necessarily difficult to do, it's just notoriously inaccurate.
Our friend Chester Wisneski at the cybersecurity firm Sophos, he says unlike a physical location, that digital address can be, well, misrepresented by mistake or on purpose.
You may have a Comcast cable modem, and your cable modem might have actually been issued an address from the Comcast equipment in New York State, in which case, even though you're physically in New Jersey, you'll appear to be in New York and it won't let you play. Whereas someone else may purchase internet service in New Jersey specifically so that they can connect to it and pretend to be in New Jersey, although maybe they're in Washington State.
That last example is part of why the state's Division of Gaming Enforcement has been testing since last Thursday. New Jersey has approved around a dozen gaming websites. Wisneski says part of the motivation for online gaming here in the states is to bring revenue back home from online casinos established in the Caribbean. What Chester and I were just talking about, that digital address, is technically called IP, or Internet Protocol. IP is the topic of our first TechSplainer. We've been asking for your questions on technology, and we'll tackle IP with help from Harvard University's Jonathan Zittrain. How are you, Jonathan?
Very well. Thank you, Ben.
All right. So we got this one question from a listener who wrote in, Brian Rosen. He wants to know, how do IP addresses work?
An IP address, IP stands for Internet Protocol, not intellectual property.
Right.
And the original idea was to make it so that every point of presence on the internet, such as your iPhone or your PC or something, would have a unique identifier.
And everything that is online has one of these, right?
Well, yes, although things have gotten complicated because as we have run low on numbers, we had some hacks come through, some good hacks. So unbeknownst to you, your base station, your wireless router is doing some fancy footwork called NAT to share that single number among all of the computers that are using the base station. And it works basically good enough for government work.
Now, Brian also has a question sort of about how this works as it relates to large companies like Comcast and Verizon, how they have different networks but link you to the same websites. And he wants to know, why wouldn't these companies have exclusive content limited to their network?
Yeah, that's a really good question, both at the operational level and at the business level.
Uh-huh.
And some of us may remember the days when if you had a CompuServe account, you could only send email to other CompuServers. And if you had an AOL account, only to other AOLers. And those days are thought to be behind us. But there were those awkward moments when I remember for a while to receive email from over the internet, if you were on CompuServe, they wanted to charge a 10-cent per email fee for processing and handling at the border.
Whew, thank God those days are over.
Exactly. So the way it works now, whether at the IP address level or at the email level for traditional email, both the provision of internet service and the provision of email on top of it are what I call unowned collective hallucination technologies, because there is no one CEO running the internet. Rather, it's a set of protocols by which networks agree to interoperate.
Jonathan Zittrin, co-director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, and the man helping us with Techsplainer. Jonathan Zittrin, thank you very much.
A pleasure, Ben.
A reminder that you can always send us your questions for the Techsplainer at Marketplace Tech on Twitter or on our website, marketplacetech.org. And before we go, while Congress considers the uses and dangers of Bitcoin, Richard Branson says he'll accept the digital currency if you want to fly to space on Virgin Galactic and all you have on you is Bitcoin. That's right, you can fly to space using an unregulated digital currency. What year is it again? I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.